Pentecost Sunday is a significant liturgical moment or feast in the church. In fact, Christmas, Easter and Pentecost are the three big celebrations. And this, as you know, the word Pentecost means the 50th day. It's 50 days since Easter for the Jewish past. To make sense of this feast, we need to bear in mind that there's a remote, a past and the present celebration of Pentecost. The remote was Jewish. The Jews celebrated this day as a festival of joy to mark when God, through Moses, gave us from Mount Sinai the commandments, the law, on how we ought to live. And at harvest time, they'd bring their goods to God and offer a portion to them on this day, 50 days after the Jewish Pasch, or Passover. And that was the day chosen in the past for this event to happen, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church. As you realise, the church came into existence, you might say, was conceived from the side of Christ. When the act of redemption was complete and the new order occurred, our Lord, from his open side, gave us sacramental grace. And from that side, we believe the church came into being, not as a building, but as his mystical body, of which we, by baptism, are members. And the members, although born into the church, were not activated until this day, the 50th day after Easter, 10 days after the Ascension. And the apostles gathered around she who was always filled with grace, the Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, were being taught to pray and prepare for the great event, the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would activate their souls and engage them to a spiritual world which transformed them and, in time, the face of the earth. The remote, the past events of Pentecost, now the present. What is Pentecost for us here today? Well, I think there's a mistake sometimes people make. They think of the Old Testament, that's God the Creator, pretty harsh and cruel, look what happened back then. And then they think of Jesus, rich in mercy, compassion and kindness, the act of redemption. And then they think of the Holy Spirit, the work of sanctification, the Pentecostal movement. And we often do isolate Father, Son and Holy Spirit, creation, redemption and sanctification, giving a parcel or portion to each of the three persons. We do that for the sake of pedagogical reasoning, to help children understand the different significant moments in our spiritual life. And also, to, I suppose, make some sense of this great mystery of the Trinity, which we'll hear about more next weekend. But the fact remains, each person of the Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, are present at those key moments of creation, redemption and sanctification. It's not like the Holy Spirit's doing something that Jesus is not aware of. The Spirit of Jesus is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Consoler. He goes by many different names. The Holy Ghost was an old title based upon the Heiligen Geist, that's German. Whatever title or name we give to the Holy Spirit, bear in mind, that is the Spirit of Christ, who said to the apostles, receive the Holy Spirit, who's receiving my divine spirit and the Father's divine spirit. You'll find churches in Aubrey which are Pentecostal that focus only on God the Spirit. You'll find some churches that focus only on Jesus. Jesus and me will get to heaven. They never ever talk about the Father, ever, but rarely. We belong to a triune church. Father, Son and Holy Spirit, all three are one divine being. And that is a fact in our liturgy. The opening prayer and the concluding prayer of every Mass since day dawn are triune, Trinitarian. We beseech the Father through the Son, asking the Holy Spirit to grant us what we petition. We always refer to all three. And so on this feast, when we talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the coming of the Spirit of Jesus, whom they had lived with, loved, and now missed into their soul, who would remind them of great things that they had heard from his lips. And the gifts given to them were extraordinary. We hear about the tongues of fire coming down upon them. Those tongues of fire were not flammable. They didn't all become redheads. But the tongue symbolizes the charity that now would invoke them to do great things for all and sundry. And also the light of that flame that would dispel the darkness that had entered into their hearts, and also the despair and depression that came with the Lord having returned to heaven. And with them, many gifts were given. 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're what we call the charismatic gifts. Charismatic is based upon the Greek word charisma. Charisma means extraordinary. And the gifts given to the early church, so these apostles were bolstered extra to get the church up and running, crank the church into action and motivation. We don't see all of those extraordinary gifts today. We see the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit manifest in the lives of many, but not the extraordinary gifts, like the speaking in tongues. That is not to be confused with praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is a form of prayer. The speaking in tongues that occurred on Pentecost Sunday, and Peter, ex-fisherman, now Pope, brought 3,000 into the church by means of it, was simultaneous translation. He was speaking in one language, they all heard him in their own language, in Syrian, Coptic, Greek, whatever their language was, they heard him speaking in their language, yet he spoke in one. That's impossible, except for God's grace. God's grace enabled them to heal people, that was sick, bring people back to life, but also to do things which were extraordinary. And that's why the church was up and running so quickly. People thought, these people have a power that's not human, but divine. For us, however, we are sealed by the Spirit. Initially at baptism, and then confirmed forever at that great sacrament of confirmation. And with that came the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do we know them? Have we thought about them? Do we pray for them? And those 7 gifts perfect the virtues of faith, hope and charity, prudence, justice, fortitude and temperance. And this is how they work. Faith has the gift of understanding to help us put things together correctly. So often people make a mistake because they don't see how things fit in God's plan. Understanding does. Understanding enables us to genuflect with absolute adoration because we really believe He's here. We understand, not by some formula we've learned, but by the Holy Spirit. Wisdom perfects charity. And wisdom enables us to see the big picture, God's plan in our life, the tapestry He's weaving. We see all the pieces in the jigsaw at a flash. That sudden insight, that's wisdom. Knowledge perfects hope. You need to make good connections and fill in the gaps. These apostles received much knowledge of the Old Testament. They weren't scholars. They were tradesmen, fishermen. Yet they were filled with the knowledge they were required to have to preach and to teach in far distant lands. Knowledge was given to them also of what Jesus had taught. It all came back in the proper order. And of course, prudence is perfected by right judgment, or rather counsel. In other words, to say the right thing at the right time. Don't we need that? So often it's not what was said, how we said it, or when we said it, that causes problems. We need counsel. And if you have to talk to someone about a difficult topic, something delicate, ask for that gift of counsel. Courage. Courage perfects courage, because we need supernatural courage to be Catholic today, to be a practicing Catholic. To be a follower of Christ is not easy. We're under attack. We're living in difficult times. Without courage, we will fall short. Fear will enter our hearts, and we won't do what we ought. Then we need, of course, to fulfill the great fortitude. We need reverence. Reverence helps us have that sense of awe towards God. That sense of God deserves the best. And that perfects the virtue of justice. Reverence is not something that happens. You see, someone feels a certain reverence, they boast prayer. St. Teresa of Lisieux when she even made the sign of the cross, people felt like praying in imitation of her sense of awe before the divine presence. And of course, the last virtue, temperance, is perfected by piety or wonder and awe, which means basically a desire to prayer, a desire to be with God, a desire to have not a piety shot, rather a pious outlook on life. They're the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're ours for the taking. In fact, we have received them. The Holy Spirit activated the church. You might say, switched on the light, engaged the gears, got things going. Back in the past, for us today, in the present, 2014, the same can apply. We have the gifts, let's activate them. Let's move them forward. Let's connect. Let's think about them and ask the Holy Spirit to inspire us on which ones we need to engage in more often, so that what they did so long ago and transformed the world might happen today in our own present times.
Praise be Jesus Christ.